Awesome. Well, good morning, Devin. Thanks for joining us today, folks. If you're new, I want to welcome you. I am Pastor Bert, and I'm wondering, who still has Halloween candy left? Wow, that's some good willpower. Or did you just buy way more than you needed because you knew you'd get the... Okay, that's what I was wondering, yeah. Well, folks, you know that if you're trying to eat healthy, the weeks after Halloween are like the most tempting time of the year, right? In our home, it's always been a chocoholic's dream come true, but not for me. As much as I love a Mr. Big, a Score, Snickers, Wonder Bar, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, O. Henry, Crunchy, Arrow, well, you get the drift, right? It's death by chocolate in our house. Which, you know, made me think, it was kind of interesting to me that at this time of year, death seems to be the topic of interest. Not just death by chocolate, but from Halloween, which seems to glamorize death, to Remembrance Day, which is coming Tuesday, when we honor those who died fighting for our freedom, and last Sunday, which was International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church, those who laid down their lives for their faith. This year, I want to invite you to attend the service at the Legion on Tuesday. They asked me to participate this year, and I'd sure like to see some familiar faces there in the crowd. But it's always important for us to remember those who've laid down their lives for us, even though they didn't know who we were. But turning back to the fall season, why does it seem, or does it seem at least to you, that this time of year, this fall season seems to be overly focused on death? But maybe that's the point, because it's fall. It's fall. I can't help think, but because it's autumn, when everything around us seems to be dying, all our trees, all our flowers, our gardens, all the greens, all the multicolored flowers have turned brown and are starting to decay. It's like life, the life in them has been stolen right out of them. For most people, death is the big unknown, isn't it? Some view it as the end, with nothing surviving except maybe some works or reputation that we leave behind. Others believe we just become phantoms of our former selves, right? Ghosts roaming around without form or purpose. But the Bible paints us a very different picture. Death is not the end, but the beginning. The beginning of an everlasting life in eternity. The world-renowned evangelist Billy Graham died at the age of 99 on February 21st, 2018. During his lifetime, it's estimated that more than 250 million people in 185 countries heard of God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ from his ministry. And Dr. Graham, of course, true to his humble character, was buried in a simple pine plywood casket built by a prisoner in the Louisiana State Penitentiary, also known as Angola. The casket cost a whopping $215. In addition to having an impact on world leaders, millions of people worldwide, Billy Graham had one of the greatest impacts on the most forgotten people groups in the world, in prisons. Most of the prisoners in Angola are serving life sentences without any possibility of parole. This means they will likely die and be buried in the Angola prison cemetery. During his lifetime, Dr. Graham preached that Jesus came to bring everlasting life to all who would believe in him and receive him as Lord. And I think the casket in which he was buried serves as a great reminder that Jesus came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. The point is, in all this, is that all of us are prisoners. Prisoners of sin and death. The curse of death has pretty much batted 1,000 since infecting this world. Other than the ancient patriarch Enoch, the prophet Elijah from the Bible, every person that's ever lived has died. The early church leader Paul explained it like this to the church that was in Rome. He said, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. As well, he said, the payment for sin is death. But God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Bible shows us that our two greatest enemies are sin and death. But Jesus faced death, entered into death, and conquered death so that we could have life with him forever. You could say that Jesus brought about the death of death. And he even declared that this was in fact his purpose for coming to this world, as recorded by his closest friend and follower named John. He said, I came to give life, life in all its fullness. And Jesus ultimately did that through his death and resurrection, defeating the power of both sin in our lives and the fear of death for us. Paul again wrote, writing to the church in Corinth, Greece, said, death has lost the battle. It's lost the battle. And today we're going to explore this unshakable promise from God that through Christ, death is defeated for us. And the first thing the Bible shows us is that death is in fact a curse. It's a curse that was placed upon us. We need to realize that people were never meant to experience death. God intended for people to live in fellowship with him forever. Death is a curse that we brought upon ourselves through the disobedience of our first ancestors. The Bible's book of origins, Genesis, shows us that God walked with the first people he created, Adam and Eve, daily in the Garden of Eden. It says this, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, in the original Hebrew language, the verb translated as walking represents a customary or habitual action of God. The Creator would customarily come to the garden to spend time with his creation. This was his purpose for creating people, to enjoy an everlasting relationship with them together. And just like every relationship, though, it had to be based upon trust. So God gave folks, those people, one disclaimer. You must never eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Unfortunately, I think we know the story. Adam and Eve disobeyed and brought the curse of death to the entire human race. Paul explains it like this to the Romans again. He said, sin came into the world because of what one man did, and with sin came death. This is why everyone must die, because everyone sinned. So Paul is making the point that because Adam was the first human being, when he sinned, the curse of sin was passed on to all his descendants. And as each of us have been born into this world of sin, it's placed that curse upon all of us. Paul goes on to explain a bit more. He says, so as one sin, the sin of Adam, brought the punishment of death to all people, one good act that Christ did makes all people right with God. And that brings true life for all. So Paul explains that Adam's disobedience stained all of his offspring with sin, right? We've all been infected, which brings the curse of death with it. And at the same time, he says that Jesus' perfect obedience paid the wages that sin demanded and died for every one of us, removing that stain of sin, and with it, the curse of death, making us right with God and restoring our relationship with him. This is the very reason Jesus said he came into the world. The writer to the early Hebrew church simply states that Christ came only once and for all time at just the right time to take away all sin by sacrificing himself. Christ came. Next month, we're going to celebrate that he came, that Jesus came as the Lamb of God, the babe in the manger, right? And we have an opportunity, folks, to invite family, and invite friends, neighbors, to hear about this amazing news on Sunday, December 7th. It's coming up pretty quick. My hope is that you will seriously consider sacrificing that evening to serve our community. We're planning to offer back-to-back sittings of our Christmas cafe. So what I'm asking is that if you're able, that each of us will sit and serve that evening. What do I mean? This means as you invite someone who needs to hear about Jesus to come sit with you for one of the programs, but then you serve on the other program. You sit through the 4 o'clock program, let's say, and then serve at the 6:30 program or vice versa. Yes, it makes for a long evening. It sure does. But it's not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost us anything, right? Jesus sacrificed his life to defeat death for everyone. I'm asking for one evening to offer life to someone. Because, folks, the curse of death still reigns in this world, which means that we're all going to die should the Lord tarry. But people need to know that death is not the end. It's not the end. Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection opened up the door for people to once again live with God forever. So on the cross, sin was defeated, and with the empty tomb, death was conquered, which is our second point. Death was conquered. Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, Christ in the Greek, is the second person of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who came in person, born into this world, lived as one of us, yet was without sin. He was executed by the Roman practice of crucifixion and was buried. Some of the women who followed Jesus went to the tomb to prepare his body for burial, which was the Jewish custom, and discovered that he wasn't there. He had been raised from the dead. Listen now, Jesus' follower Matthew recorded that incident. He said, "At that time there was a strong earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, went to the tomb, and rolled the stone away from the entrance. Then he sat on the stone. He was shining as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The soldiers guarding the tomb shook with fear because of the angel, and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen from the dead as he said he would. Come and see the place where his body was and go quickly and tell his followers that Jesus has risen from the dead.'" So the angel commanded the women to announce the good news that Jesus had conquered death to the rest of his followers who were still sitting back in town mourning his death. Much like I think many people today, even Jesus' followers didn't at first believe the news that he had risen. So for the next several days, Jesus, it says, appeared to hundreds of people to prove his resurrection to them, and then commissioned them to tell others what they had seen and heard. And that commission is the reason that you and I are even in this building today, some 2,000 years later, still communicating the good news that through Jesus, death is defeated. Death is defeated, and as our final point says, life is communicated. The authors of the Bible's New Testament proclaimed that Jesus had conquered death. Not only did they communicate it through their words and through their writing, but most of them proclaimed it by their very deaths, never once renouncing the claim that they had seen the risen Savior, even though for them it meant persecution and martyrdom for most of them. Theirs was a hope and a belief that even as Jesus rose from the dead, he would one day raise them as well. Paul explained it like this to the Corinthian church. Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one and proof that those who sleep in death will also be raised. And the writer to the early Hebrew church similarly expressed, he said, since the children of flesh and blood, he too, Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Fear of death. That reminds me of the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Davy Jones, right, questioning the surviving sailors of sinking ships. Do you fear death? Do you fear that dark abyss? All your deeds laid bare. All your sins punished. I can offer you an escape. Of course it's a lie, right? It's a lie. His offer to escape death is nothing more than eternal slavery to him. Very much like the devil offers people today. Whether it's the offer of a complete nothingness or becoming a ghost or becoming reincarnated as a mosquito, whatever, it's all a lie. For as Jesus revealed in John's eyewitness account, Jesus said, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He has never been truthful. He doesn't know what the truth is. Whenever he tells a lie, he's doing what comes naturally to him. He's a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus here calls the devil a murderer who deceived Adam and Eve by lying to them in the first place, causing them to question God and rebel against him, thus destroying the fellowship, an intimate relationship that they had with God, with their Creator, their Heavenly Father, and thus brought death to all people. But as Peter explains, Jesus came to deal with that sin and reverse the curse of death so people could once again be made right, be in right relationship with God forever. He said, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Jesus' own death and resurrection, again, dealt with our sin, defeated the curse of death, and delivered the only way for humanity's relationship with God to be restored. The life we experience today is not as God intended it to be. We lose loved ones, whether infant, adult, or aged, in death. For many, the thoughts of death sort of bring a hopelessness and even despair. Death still seems so final, but not for the follower of Jesus. Never for the follower of Jesus. Paul explained to the Roman church, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. As well, the church in Corinth, he said, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits, that is, the first to be resurrected with an incorruptible, immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in death. So to the people of that time, when they heard that term, first fruits, they knew it meant the first taste of the harvest. First taste of the harvest. The farmer could anticipate the nature of the rest of the crop by sampling that first batch. This means that we can anticipate our own resurrection because of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was the first of a huge crop of resurrected people. Because Jesus rose from the dead, death has been conquered for all of us. Death is not the end of our story. Those who trust in Jesus for salvation will experience eternal life with him. Just envision yourself as you were meant to be, completely whole, pure, and envision this earth as it was intended to be. No more struggles. No more shame. No tension between people. No more curse. Have you found this unshakable hope over death in your own life that we've been talking about? The good news is that you can. You can have that eternal hope. Jesus walked the path through death into everlasting life for you. For you. So you could be with him forever. And he's inviting you today, follow me. Follow me on the path I'm on. What's keeping you from accepting his invitation right now? If you're watching or you're here today and you'd like to take that step to follow Jesus, trust him with your life, both now and your life forever, then I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer. You can just follow along silently if you like, and God will save you and restore your relationship with him because he already knows the desire of your heart to do that. If we could bow our heads together, folks, if you'd like to pray this prayer with me for the first time, could you just quickly let me know by raising your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Thanks. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you that you love me so much, that you sent Jesus to restore my relationship with you. God, I accept your generous gift of a new life and the hope of eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me God's love by dying to pay the price for my sin. I don't understand it all yet, but I believe that you rose from the dead. Really, to prove that as God, only you have power over life and death. And that same power is able to save me too and help me to live for you forever. So I thank you for taking away the guilt of sin and the fear of death so I can live my best life ever by following you and living your way. I want to start living by faith, living in you, following you, doing what you want, and sharing the hope that I found today. Thanks, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. want to call the band back up. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, give your life to Jesus, could you take one of those Connect cards that Pastor Cole mentioned earlier and just fill in the information? We do have some resources we'd love to share with you, as well as just connect with you and help you as you take those first steps of your new life with Jesus. With that, I'm going to turn it back to the band, and we're going to close with another song before you can go.